It's a great pleasure to be here. I've learned a lot in every single talk I've been to, so hopefully you guys will learn something. So I'm at Pomona College, and what I'm going to be talking about today is a way of making data that's on the web and that's curated by somebody else really accessible to students. So the motivation comes from a whole series of things that have been happening recently. Lots of, you know, the GAYS recommendations in the STAT community, the ASA curriculum guidelines. Lots of people are a call to put data at the center of the curriculum. Additionally, here, as we all know, in the R community, there's a tremendous amount of work going on with R packages that facilitate everything I'm about to show you. And in the larger community, of course, there's all sorts of great data sets out there that we are getting access to. So what do I mean about dynamic data? So dynamic data is in contrast to static data. So really it means that somebody else keeps it up to date, right? It exists somewhere out there, and someone else is taking care of it, whether it's weather data or sports data or you know, Medicare data, whatever it is, somebody else is taking care of it. And so the idea is that we would use this data and we would directly bring it into our studio without ever having a CSV file, right? Without ever having a CSV file on a laptop or on a server or anything like that. The CSV file exists on the CDC's website, right? Whatever that is. So the data aren't typically particularly clean. They're going to be a whole array of tidiness. But I'm going to argue that these data are accessible to students at all different levels. So again, my project goals are to bring, that feels very small to me. I don't think I can make it any bigger. To bring these dynamic data sets into the curriculum at all different levels, right? Maybe it's your classroom presentations, maybe it's homework assignments, maybe it's big group projects, and that your students are going to be able to answer interesting statistical questions and hopefully other scientific questions. So you think about these project goals and you ask yourself, what's new? What is she talking about? And the answer is nothing. Really, nothing I'm doing is new because we've been able to do this for a long time, right? We've been able to read.csv a URL for a long time. But then everything is new, right? That's what we've been here for 4 days listening to, you know, the way that Markdown has integrated everything for us and all of these new packages, Jenny Bryan's Google Sheets and the way we think about tidy data and all those things are really new in a way that you could have done this 10 years ago, but it wasn't accessible to your students 10 years ago. And by having these Markdown files and having these templates, it's really changed the paradigm of what we can bring into the classroom. So I'm going to talk about two data sets here, though it's a larger project that has a lot more examples that I'll show you at the end. So the first is the college scorecard data. And this is data that was put together by the US Department of Education. And this is a mandate by President Obama to make what's going on with colleges a lot more transparent to the users. So it's a lot of information on acceptance rates and SAT scores and demographic information about the students there, as well as a phenomenal amount of information about things like how much money the students are making 10 years out, how much debt they accrue while they're there, what their majors are, all that kind of stuff. So it's quite a rich data set. One interesting thing about it is that a lot of the information is gathered from financial aid, federal financial aid forms, which immediately biases anything that you're going to be talking about, because if you only have the income level of the individuals who are on financial aid, clearly that's not a random sample. But again, if I'm a parent sending my child to college, and this is the data set I'm using, right, that's the mandate from the president, right? The mandate is to make these things transparent. I think that's a really rich conversation that you can have with your students, right? Let them play with this data and let them think about, you know, what kinds of questions can you ask and what kinds of questions Can't You Ask? So there you go. That's it. That's me downloading the data. Wow. That's pretty awesome, huh? Right? That's it. And there's lots of variables. You can see there's 17,000 variables. I'm sorry, this is so small. There's 8,000 institutions. The observational unit is an institution, and the variables are there's 1,700. Sorry, did I say that right? 8,000 variables, 1,700, 8,000 institutions. I'll get this eventually. 1,700 variables, and these are. I just showed you SAT verbal, the 25th percentile, SAT verbal, 75th percentile. Again, those are at the institution level. Okay, but I did some cleaning, right? So I did things like I played with the regions to kind of give them information about what the regions were. There was some issues with actually getting numbers, so I was using extract numeric to make those SAT scores and the admission rates and whatnot numeric so that it played happily with R. There were issues of null versus NA, right? So I kind of had to do a little cleaning with that. But I didn't do a ton. And then I can look at my data and it seems okay. Maybe this should be a character, whether it's a historically black college and university, right? I don't necessarily think of that as a numerical variable, right? That's a character variable. So I'm checking what's going on and whatnot. But again, I can just have this in the preamble of an R markdown file, give that to my student, and they can work with whichever variables they want here. This isn't showing up very well here. So then I was just playing around, like, what kinds of things can I do, and thinking about the introductory statistics curriculum. I made a bunch of prediction intervals and confidence intervals. The red bars there are the amount of debt accrued, I keep saying that wrong, by the, I think it's an average at the institutional level, and then the blue is the amount of earnings. The solid intervals are confidence intervals, and the dashed intervals are prediction intervals. Along the x-axis is region. I'm not sure this particular graph is that enlightening with respect to anything we'd want to know about colleges, but just kind of to give an example of some things that we could do and how we could play around with the data. Of course, it had to be really tidy for me to be able to do this plot. All right, and the second data set that I'm going to tell you about is from the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey. This is a nationwide survey that's done by the CDC. And one of the interesting things about it is that the way they collect the data is by using this mobile medical van thing. I don't know, they go around, right? So you can't have a simple random sample of all United States residents because the mobile van unit can't simply randomly sample, right? So what do? They start off by sampling some counties, then they sample clusters of households, they select specific households within those clusters, and then they select individuals within those segments. So this, again, is an interesting conversation with your students. You get this data downloaded, and it's not a random sample, so you can do some interesting things with it. They give you, in the data set, they give you these weights that are easy to use to take a random sample. So I can have that be part of my conversation with my students, or I can just do it for them and give them the data. So this is downloading the data. The data are XPT files. R has no trouble with that. Download the data, do some of that sampling, look at the data, and there we go. And again, I just did a couple of really quick examples here. So I had a student working with me on this, and she was interested in BMI, body mass index, for individuals who are in committed relationships versus not in committed relationships. It turns out it's really not any different, BMI. Here's some violin plots, and here's a t-test. And again, lots of interesting conversations. You can check any variable, and some of your students will get significance. Is that because you have a huge sample size? Is that because you have a type 1 error? What's going on there? Is it because it's significant? I also did some examples of sort of beyond what you would do in the intro curriculum and, thinking about splines. So this is weight and height by gender, again, of that NHANES data set. So I wrote a paper, which is really just a way to compile these examples. That's really the motivation of the paper. And the examples all have, you know, what is the example, the descriptions, how to use that in an introductory classroom, and then how to use it sort of post the introductory classroom. And it's really, I think, the markdown files that are the contribution here, and the manuscript just sort of ties it together. So these are the full examples that I have. I told you about the college scorecard and the NHANES. I also have an example about just doing XML scraping from Wikipedia. Again, your students could use any Wikipedia site. Gapminder is another really rich data set. And there's a lot of good weather data out there from NOAA. So this is just, you know, just what those markdown files look like. So it's got a lot of text and then all those files for your students to kind of work through the R code. Sorry. And I give some additional examples where I have not gone through the full R markdown, but where I've given lots of URLs and ways of students to access data online. And again, this is data that's all curated by somebody else. And this is sort of what my paper looks like. Information on this run that takes place in DC, accidents by the National Transportation Service, and a phenomenal amount of climate data. And actually, this is a great place. RealClimate.org has curated a lot of different really, really great climate data sets. And so again, you know, I've got these markdown and PDFs that I would love people to use. It's all on my GitHub page. And, you know, just play around with markdown files, do whatever you want, you know, use them in the classroom, however you want. And that is all I have to say. There's my GitHub site for that and email and Twitter. So thank you very much. So I sort of flew through this. So I have never. Oh, I'm sorry. So the question was whether or not how to think about a t-test in the classroom when you have a cluster sampling scheme and what the data look like and whatnot. So as I showed you in the R code, and I know I flew through that. There's a not too difficult way of taking the weighting mechanism, and you know you can download a huge amount of data. You can download 10 or 20,000 observations, and then resample from that, you know, on the order of a couple of thousand using those weights such that it becomes basically a simple random sample. And that's how I've used it, because I don't teach an experimental design class in terms of like what how one would do a t-test or how one would think about that. So. Right, or the weather data or whatever, right? Every time I taught it, or somebody does the homework this week and next week. I don't have a good answer for that, but I think it's reality, right? So I think that maybe just documenting and having students kind of get used to saying like, okay, this is when I downloaded it, this was you know, a timestamp or something like that, because the data sets in R that are really nice and curated are fantastic, but they're not going to be the data sets that are typically used when people are doing things in the real world. So. Yeah, please do. And the paper is also on the GitHub site with, where did I get all my data? So the paper also is on the web, on the GitHub site as well, which has more links and whatnot. So mostly I just, you know, talk to people and ask them and listen as much as I can. And so Deb today, what did she say? That wasn't about dynamic data, but that data set you guys this morning with the teaching evaluations. you know, so I'm just in talks all the time. I'm like, oh, where did they get that data? And then I try to find it and stuff. So I don't have a good source of, you know, repository.
One thing I would worry about this is that some external change can break your lessons. Mm. Are all the data sources sufficiently mature and consistent that doesn't happen?
That's a really good question. Oh, sorry. Thank you so much. So it's not just about the, so he asks what things could break the lessons, and it's not just the data sets that could break, but also the R packages, right? There's lots of things that could change and sort of the whole pipeline. Most of them are pretty mature, you know, Gapminder is pretty stable and whatnot, but yeah, things change and you got to, you know, try and work through them. I don't have a good answer for that either. Google Sheets, exactly, was what was coming to mind. So I had some trouble with authentication pieces of it at some point when I was first starting out this that I think have gotten more stable now. But yeah, Google Sheets has definitely changed.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.